The amazing love of God towards us before we're able to ever love ourselves or him or others. And that's an amazing concept. It's absolutely huge. The more I look at God's love, the more overwhelming I feel. Because God's love, as we looked at last week, is unconditional. An unconditional love. And sometimes I have a hard time understanding how amazing, how incredible, how expansive that unconditional love of God is, because we're so used to the conditional love that we experience here in this world and the conditional love that we offer to so many other people around us. But God's love is unconditional. And here's the thing. I got to thinking about this last week when I got done, of how amazing God's love is, how much he loves you unconditionally, how much he delights in you. You are the apple of his eye, and how amazing God, I can't even put it into words. It is so large and so vast, God's love that he's trying to pour into your life. And I got to thinking this week, a lot of people might have gone out of here thinking, wow, I'm all that. I God loves me so much, and I am so important, and I am so, and here, and I don't want to bust your bubble, because you are all that, okay? You're amazing, you're incredible, all these different things. But the reason that you're amazing, Don, the reason that you're incredible, the reason that each one of you is so fantastically lovable by God, is has nothing to do with you. I know that sounds a little crazy, but I don't want anyone walking out thinking, man, I'm just all that because God loves. The reason God loves you is because he's able to look past you. He looks at you as his creation. You are his. You are made in his image. That whole apple of the eye, when he looks into your eyes, he sees his own image. And God is love. So many times we want to make it about us, but it's really not about us. It's about him and his amazing love for us. We are absolutely nothing without him because he created us. It's really hard for me even to get in my own mind. You see, he loves us unconditionally. He delights in us. Here's the hard part. He might not love everything we do. Understand that? He definitely does not delight in all that we are and all the things that we do and get ourselves involved in. But he loves and delights unconditionally the core of who he created you to be. I think about that concept of his love, and I look at myself and how I love. I'm just going to be honest. I think of my own family as much as anything before I even start looking at all of you. And I feel like I feel so woefully short. And I want to be better. I want to love more unconditionally. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to get down on myself or anyone else. I want to love more unconditionally. I want them to know that they are the apple of my eye. I delight in my kids and in my wife, in my family, in my grandkids. I want them to know that. And the only way that I can ever do that is not by my own effort. Here, listen to me very closely, because I don't want anyone walking out of this building today thinking, man, I got to try harder to love unconditionally. Man, I need to try harder to love with delight. I need to try harder. I need to try harder. And if you hear that message, you're not hearing what I'm trying to say, because your ability to try harder, to love more, to be better at loving is not in your wheelhouse. You're not able to. The only way that that is going to happen, the only way that your love is going to increase, the only way that you'll be able to love unconditionally, the only way that you'll be able to love with such great delight in the people that you come in contact with, is if you receive the love of God. if you understand how much he loves you and how he's doing it, if you open yourself up to the amazing, incredible outpouring, the amazing wave after wave of God's love every single day for you, the only way you can do that yourself is if you receive it. If you truly get how much he loves you, and because it's going to come in stages, because if you got it all at once, you'd be going, ugh, it would just knock you out. His love would just bowl you over. It'd be like a tidal wave, just completely overwhelming you. So he pours it into you. I think I jarred my neck there a little bit. He pours it into you in stages, but you have to be open to that. You have to be looking for it. You have to seek and allow his love to be poured into you. Because it's so much more than just unconditional love. It's so much more than his delight in you. You see, you gotta understand, God's love, I don't know how else to say this, it's for you. God is for you. He's in your corner. He's rooting for you. He sees you at every step of every moment of every day. And he's like, come on, Kim, you got this. One more step. I think of the movie, what was it? Facing the Giants. Yeah, you remember that? And the guy's strapped to his shoulder pads. He's down on all fours, and he's trying to do the bear crawl with the guy on his shoulder. And his coach is like, come on, one more step, one more step. Just put your hand out one more. And he's just urging him on. He's thinking, man, I want 20 or 30 yards, and he went the whole length of the football field with the guy on his back. That's how God is in your corner. At every moment of every part of your day, he loves you so much. He is there going, come on, you can do this. Open your heart. Open your mind. Open yourself. Open your spirit to what I've got for you. Come on. I love you. Now, we don't hear that anymore because too many times we're turning that out. But when we're on the mountaintop, God is there. And when we're in the darkest valley, God is there. And he's for you. He's urging you on. He has a desire for you. In Jeremiah 29:11, I know you've all heard this so many different times. It's one of those, oh, where's Jeremiah? I lost Jeremiah. There he is. Jeremiah. You all know this. I should have it by heart, and I should, and I do, but I don't want to mess it up. 29:11 says this, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. When you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You see, it's not dependent on God wanting to pour mother love on us, or that he's not in our corner. The fact is, he is in your corner. He's there all the time, rooting, urging, compelling us on. But what matters is if we're willing to receive it and listen to it and believe and know that he is there. That's what makes all the difference. Whether you're on the mountaintop or in the valley, he's there. He's constantly desiring to prosper you, to give you a hope, to give you a future. He has a plan. As a matter of fact, I think it's in Ephesians. Yeah, Ephesians chapter 2. This is what he says. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this. For we are God's workmanship. He created us. He created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God, listen to what it says, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You see, God created you for a reason. He has a plan for you. Not only does he have a plan for you, he has things that he has prepared for you to do, to accomplish, not for your own glory, but for his glory. He has things that he has planned before you were even a twinkle in your mother's eye. He had plans for you. He had goals for you. And sometimes I think we forget that. I think we wake up each day and we think, well, this is my day and I'm going to do what I want and I'm going to accomplish what I want. This is my life. I'm going to do what I want with it. Well, you can. He loves you so unconditionally, he'll allow you to do that. But that's not really life. You see, true life
is understanding the love that God has for you and the plan that he has for you every single day. And what happens so many times, I think people get tired of asking because they don't know, they aren't listening as well as God wants them to. You know what? It's not a difficult process. It's just an openness to his presence and an acknowledgement of him being there and a desire to step out in faith even when it's hard on a daily basis to do and say the things that he's calling you to do. And it's not always pleasant and it's not always easy. Romans 8, chapter 3 says this. Beginning at verse 31. Romans 8. I said Romans 8, chapter 3. That doesn't make any sense, does it? Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 31. That makes a little more sense. It says this. Listen to what it says. What then shall we say? And really, that's really the question that you got to ask yourself right now. If God is for me, what then shall we really say? If that is true, and it is, what then shall we say in response to this? In response to the truth, I'm just telling you that God is for you. It says, if God is for us, and he is, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Here's the thing. If God is for you, and he is, and you acknowledge that, and you open yourself up for God's plans, and you get scared, and it looks too big, and it looks impossible, and you're afraid, and you don't think people will like you, and you don't think there's enough resources, and you start to turn away, you need to realize if God is for you, if he is guiding and directing your life and you are listening to him and you are recognizing his amazing love that is being poured into you, if he is for you, what can stand against that? Give me an answer. Nothing. I don't care if it's the principalities of darkness standing in your face, breathing hot, nasty fumes from his mouth. He can't stand against God's love for you. Even to the point of death, he has you. I don't know about you, but that's pretty empowering. I can face tomorrow. I don't know what's coming, but it ain't big enough to outpower the love of God in my life. If he's for you, what can stand against you? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, hold on. I need to pause because just because God is for you, that doesn't mean there won't be trials. Hear me? That doesn't mean it won't be hard. That doesn't mean just because God is for me that I'm going to be doing everything right all the time and he doesn't need to correct me a little bit, nudge me, discipline me. As a matter of fact, it's pretty plain in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. It says, God what? Disciplines those he loves. And that's an awesome thing. So many times people think, well, discipline, that's just a harsh word. No, that's an awesome word. See if you agree with this. This world could use a whole lot more discipline. Yes? And correction. Yes? See, discipline is not a bad thing. Discipline is a good thing. It shows and expresses another level of love in our lives. It's not, woe is me. God, why are you so mean to me? Why are you so harsh? Why is this happening? It's, God, what are you trying to teach me? Because that's what discipline is. What are you trying to help me avoid, avert? What are you wanting me to learn? Because sometimes, not sometimes, I'm just going to say it. We learn better, more convincingly, more stick it in my mind. I learn, maybe it's just me. Kevin, how about you? I learn better from my mistakes and the things that I do stupid. When I do something stupid, I think, and it goes bad, I go, I don't want to do that again. And I remember that a whole lot better than the things I do well. You know what I'm saying? That's an expression of God's, you agree with me pretty fast on that. You actually started smiling a little bit. Has that been happening? Hey, it's happened to me all the time. That's God's love. He is for you even when it seems like things are against you. He is for you, and his love endures. He loves you. He loves you so much. God loves you so much that he's willing to pay attention to you. He pays attention to you. Now, I know that God is, I always want to say the wrong one. I know that he is omnipresent, all right? I know that God is, you guys know that, right? He's omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. So he's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, and he's everywhere at once, omnipresent. He's everywhere. I don't know how he does it, but he's everywhere at once. But being everywhere at once, being in the presence, is not necessarily paying attention. Right, Kathy? She's like, no, I'm not saying that you're not listening. I'm just saying because y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Just being in the same room doesn't mean you're paying attention. Correct? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm listening. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. What did you just say? Uh-uh. Just because we say he's present just presence doesn't do it. But God says, I love you so much, I am always paying attention to you. Always. Do you realize that that's one of the things that we need to live, to exist? Attention is as important as food we eat. The air we breathe. Without attention, we cease to exist. You're thinking, well, Ellen, you're carrying this a little bit too far. Really? You have a little bitty baby. I don't care how old you want to say it is. 3 weeks, 2 weeks, a month, a year. You lay that little baby in a bed. You give it food. It's got the opportunity to breathe. But if you give it no attention, if it sees no love, how well does that baby exist and thrive and grow? As a matter of fact, we already know that baby will die without attention. Do you realize that? I'm not making that up. The child will die without attention. Let's bump it up a little bit. What about our toddler? What about the adolescents, teenagers? What about the young adult? What about the adults? What about our elderly? You see, there's something innately ingrained in us that we need attention, not presence, attention. We need to be known and fully known. We need relationship. I don't want to go into our present day and what's going on. Maybe we should. But right now, there are people who have isolated themselves so much that the depression is growing so great and the lie is becoming so prevalent that life doesn't seem to matter anymore, and we're doing it to ourselves. We need people. I don't care. I'm not saying that we need to be face to face, but we need the attention. God created us to need and desire and to live with attention. And he says, I love you so much. And I don't know how he does this. This is a mystery to me of God. How he's able to pay attention. I have a hard time paying attention to one person at a time. And how he's able to literally pay attention, to grasp every word and every thought and every action of every piece of his creation. That's why he's God. That's why he's God. I love this one little passage. I'm just going to look at it real quick in Numbers chapter 6. You may have heard this. We don't do this very often here at Walnut Community Bible Church, but this is something that happens in a lot of the mainline denominations, sometimes almost every week. I remember when I was growing up in Lutheran Church, I heard this every week at the end of the service in Numbers chapter 6. Verse 22, it says, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. This is how you're to bless them. Say to them, I remember you always went like this. You guys all remember this? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. You know what that's saying? That's saying God is paying attention to you. Not only are you the apple of his eye, but he wants to meet with you face to face. He says, I have turned my face to you. Not only does he say, I'm turning my face to you, I'm giving you my attention, but not only does he say, I'm turning my face to you, he says, I'm going to make my face. I love this. I'm sorry. I get goosebumps every time I think about this week. I love this. I'm going to make my face shine upon you. I'm going to beam my radiance and my love onto you. Now, it's kind of hard for me to get that in my mind, what that really means. This week we got to go ice skating with the grandkids. It was awesome. We had so much fun. It was I just absolutely loved taking Gideon and Vern ice skating. We had so much fun. They'd never ice skated before. We were out on the ice skating rink, and I don't know why, but I can ice skate better backwards than I can forward. I've been backwards all my life, but I can ice skate better backwards than forwards. And so I'm ice skating backwards and holding on to Gideon and Vern's hands and skating backwards with them, helping them learn how to skate. I've actually got some video. I didn't bring it so you guys can see it, but I've got some video of us doing this, and it is the most awesome thing. I've watched it over and over and over again, because when we first started, they're like this and falling and doing all these different things. And I just kept holding their hands. I kept holding them up. And I kept skating. I kept skating. I said, stop looking down. Stop looking down. Stop. Don't look down at your feet. If you're trying to skate and you're looking down at your feet, man, it's like you're in a whirligig thing. Or, you know what I'm saying? Because it's just like there's too many things going on. It's hard to focus. And I kept saying, look up here. Look at me. Look at me. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. And when they finally get it, they look at you. They're like this. And they're scared to death because everything seems to be out of control and out of control. And the more you smile at them and laugh and just encourage them and stuff like that, your face, my face, shines on them. And you can literally see it in the video as I'm skating backwards and I let go and they're scared to death. And I keep saying, look up, look up, look up, look at me, give me a thumbs up, give me a thumbs up. I'm going to run in something. That's what I do on the ice skating rink too. Come on, look up. And finally they look up and they're just scared to death. And all of a sudden they're just going along. And he's like, just keep looking, give me a thumbs up. And and all of a sudden their face just goes from sheer fear to elation. And then they fall. No, but but that's how it is. God's saying, if you will, listen to what he says, if you will seek my face, if you will seek my face, he says, I am going to shine my face upon you. I delight in you so much. My love will literally, if you will seek my face, if you will look at me face to face, if you will seek me out, my love will radiate upon you. You will feel my presence. Oh, and it's true. It is so true. If it's true in a little example of me and my grandsons and the joy that they found and the peace and the security and the encouragement, if I can do that, if that can happen just with my countenance and my face coming face to face with them, how much more? How much more will God's love permeate your life if you'll just seek him? If you'll just open yourself up to him, he wants to shine his countenance upon you. He wants to fill your life with his love. Whew. Psalm 139. Someone said yes. Did someone say yes? Very good. You're tracking with me. Psalm 139 says this. Verse 1. Oh, Lord, whew, oh, Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You've looked at my face. You've seen my heart. You know what's in my soul. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar, my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. And I read that, and I think of little Gideon, I think of little Vern, and I think of the hands holding and how hard they're gripping hold and how hard I'm holding on to them, and I love them, and I want to hold them, and I want to make sure that they're going to be okay. And God is doing the exact same thing. He knows you completely. Somebody got it. Isn't that odd? The people in the audience, they didn't hear it, but that was so cool. Don't tell me God is not in control. Don't tell me. So people who are watching on the video, I know you didn't hear that, but I said that and there was a ding. I'm going to stop there. I can't beat that. We're going to continue this on next week. If you got it, if it finally dinged in your head how much God loves you, praise God. If you're ready to see that, praise God. If you need to explore it a little bit more, praise God. It's there waiting for you. It's there waiting for you. And it doesn't matter if you've been alive for 10 days or 100 years, God loves you. And he wants to fill you with the full measure of his love. Because he knows when you experience that, even for the briefest moments, you won't be able to help but love yourself. You won't be able to help but love him. And there is no way you can experience the love of God in the full measure in which he wants to give it to you and it not just ooze out to those around you. And that's what he wants. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. If you're ready to receive that love, seek him. And you will find him. Let's stand and sing.